Hi, my name is Dave Blanchard. I'm the CEO of the Ogmandino Group, and it's so good to be back with you to discuss this quality. Quality number six, self-esteem. We are going to discuss the three major causes of low self-esteem, and then the principles of being real and genuine and authentic, and then the tethers that hold us back, the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. And then I'm going to share with you six ways to improve your self-esteem. This sixth and final quality of an intentional creator is having a healthy self-esteem. Intentional creators are whole and complete. They are real, genuine, and authentic, without the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed or fear. Imagine being comfortable in your own skin, comfortable and confident in connecting with others, fully available to serve and free to create the world you want. It is time to discover how. Before we explore in some detail the causes of low or challenged self-esteem and several practices to improve self-esteem, we invite you to step back from any sabotaging thought processes and embrace this time-tested principle. You are nature's greatest miracle. Regardless of what your thought processes may want you to believe, no matter what you have done or what has been done to you, you are priceless and unique. Deep down inside, underneath any fear, shame, or blame, you know this. It is time to own it. The vast majority of people in the Western culture are driven by the need to be perfect, while believing that it is selfish or egotistical or even prideful to acknowledge their own goodness. Well, the most selfish thing we can do is to be consumed with fear and self-doubt, self-criticism, and concerns about our own inadequacies. When we are preoccupied with these negative thoughts, we are holding back our natural gifts and thus rob ourselves and others of our greatest gifts. Ogmandino writes, "I am nature's greatest miracle. I'm not on this earth by chance. I am here for a purpose, and that purpose is to grow into a mountain, not to shrink into a grain of sand. Henceforth, I will apply all my efforts to become the highest mountain of all, and I will strain my potential until it cries for mercy." It is time to leave behind vain attempts to imitate others and be real. It is time to awaken your natural genius and be genuine. It is time to embrace your uniqueness and be authentic. It is time to stretch and grow. It is time to change your focus from "what is wrong with me" to "how can I use my life experience to better serve others?" It is time to become the person you were designed to become. It is time to find you so that you can give yourself in service to others. We have been able to identify three major causes for low or challenged self-esteem. The first cause is ever-present, unrealistic expectations created by vivid escape and avoid fantasies. I want you to go to quality number two, goals and expectations, for more details about these fantasies. These expectations are concrete conditions for happiness. And when real life shows up differently than our expectations, and it always does, we can feel like a failure. This cause creates self-blame and feelings of unworthiness. Does it ever seem like your dreams are never going to come true? Does it ever feel like you are never going to get a break? Does it ever feel like everyone else is succeeding? You ever wonder what's wrong with you? We're going to explore that one in more detail. The second cause is traumatic life events that threaten the often fragile underpinnings of trust. This cause can leave us fearful and cautious and even reclusive. Do you ever feel alone or lost? Ever want to hide in a shell? Ever feel suspicious or have a need to be overly cautious? When your mind wanders, does it ever entertain thoughts about people letting you down or being hurt by others? We'll explore this one. The third cause is inconsistency between our public self and our private or often secret self. This cause fosters shame. You know, people really knew what we did in private and in secret. Would they be attracted or repelled? Would we be okay, relieved, or embarrassed? For most, there are differences between our public and our secret self. However, when that gap is wide, shame abides. This is often true of private or secret addictions such as drugs and alcohol and pornography. We'll spend some time reviewing and getting our heads wrapped around each of these causes. Let's start with unmet expectations. The majority of those actively seeking financial abundance share two thought processes in common. Both are associated with vivid visualization. People have been taught that something tantamount to a fantasy fairy will magically manifest their wishes if they but visualize their dreams with enough intention. In short, this millionaire magic doctrine wants us to believe that visualization actually creates tangible reality. Many have been so committed to this belief that they have walked to the very edge of emotional and financial self-destruction in its pursuit. With the measurements now available through the Intentional Creation Assessment and the current discoveries being made in neuroscience, along with the research that we've done in interviews with thousands of individuals actively seeking abundance, we now know that the overwhelming majority of those who have embraced this doctrine engage in deadly escape and avoid fantasy, and in doing so, create mental constructs in their mind, unrealistic expectations. Again, go back to quality number two, goals and expectations, for a thorough discussion on this topic. But even though these expectations are created in the mind and exist only in our mind, due to the unique measurement found in 97% of those actively seeking financial abundance, these expectations are so vivid, so real, that they become non-negotiable, concrete conditions for happiness. Furthermore, these expectations are brought into tangible reality and are used as a measuring stick by which we determine the value of everything in our lives, from relationships to finances. In truth, reality can never stack up to this rigorous comparison. Instead of igniting passion that drives discipline and focus and effort and action, we instead create high levels of dissatisfaction and overwhelm and anxiety, frustration, and even anger. We do not get closer to living our dreams in tangible reality. In fact, we get farther away. Now, the lax financial controls of the last decade kept the real damage caused by the millionaire magic doctrine under wraps, but no longer. Foreclosures abound, credit card defaults soar, lives and families are being torn apart. The fallout has shaken the very foundation of our financial system. Fantasy was in fashion, and unbridled spending to create the appearance of wealth enjoyed unprecedented popularity for over a decade. In the history books, it will be looked upon with infamy. Few have escaped, and the damage? Nearly incalculable. Now, expectations are created in the mind. Discouragement reigns supreme in our tangible world, and for a long time, and for most, it has seemed as if they were the only ones experiencing this pain. Someone had to be blamed. The most common target is our self-esteem, ourselves. Believing that others are succeeding when we are not, we may think that we are not worthy of wealth. At the deepest of intrinsic levels, we may think that God does not love us. We may look at others and conclude that something must be wrong with us. In an attempt to realize these expectations. We may compromise our values, our beliefs, our opinions, our ideas. We may go or have gone into debt attempting to prematurely experience these expectations. This deadly spiral of fantasy, catastrophe, and self-blame, compounded by mountains of consumer debt, crushes the soul and heightens feelings of hopelessness and a lack of worthiness. There is little comfort in finally knowing we are not alone. I clearly remember a group coaching session when a young man came on the line and said, "Finally, I understand. I was raised in a good home and have supportive parents. I never had any really traumatic things happen to me. What you see is what you get with me. Yet my self-esteem has been in the toilet. That is exactly what I've been doing, creating expectations through vivid fantasy. Finally, I know why I have felt so worthless." The single greatest cause of low self-esteem among those actively seeking financial abundance is unmet, unrealistic expectations. As you've discovered in the second quality of an intentional creator, goals and expectations, visualization is essential to success. Knowing how to use these powerful and vivid thought processes is critical. Review this quality and master the five constructive ways you can use these two vivid thought processes to ignite passion and drive your discipline and focus and effort and action. Well, the second biggest cause of low self-esteem is traumatic life events that damage trust and steal personal identity. The most common contributors include a lack of proper nurturing during developmental years, feelings of abandonment when parents get divorced, emotional, physical, or sexual abuse experienced as a child or as an adult, unexpected and untimely job loss, serious financial setbacks that result in bankruptcy or dislocation, clinical depression, and serious injury or health challenges. Many seem to survive this cause unscathed, while others experience deep wounds that leave painful scars. Helping a person process through these traumas is the work of a skilled therapist. When someone is ready to own the past, engrave it on their heart, use these experiences to serve others, and move forward and take on life, it's time for a life coach. In my childhood, two cruel people violated my trust and left me reeling for identity. It left me shy and at times reclusive and distrustful. I lived in my own emotional cocoon, obsessively thinking about how people would hurt me or I could hurt them. I was in there. The world was out here. As with most people who share similar experiences, I developed coping skills so that I could venture out here long enough to appear normal. I'm sure some of my best friends were imaginary characters who lived in my mind, the one place I could go for safety and for control and for comfort. My good dad was in the aerospace industry, so every 3 years we moved. As a result of moving and my emotional paralysis, I made few lasting friends. However, when friendships were made, especially in high school, the relationships ran dangerously deep. I was hungry to be understood and loved. Now, those who knew me may be surprised by all of this. This is quite revelatory. I'm being as transparent as I can for your benefit. I was the May Day King in grade school, played football in junior high school, and college. I was a member of the Honor Society, was a first-team all-conference linebacker, and was recruited by an Ivy League school. Football was one place I could unleash my anger and hunger to find meaning in my life. Football career over, I turned my attention to making money and accumulating material things, which again brought meaning to my life. They were the foundation of my self-esteem. In 1988 and 89, when Ramona and I lost millions in the real estate crash in Southern California and faced the prospect of paying back $1 million in debt, personally guaranteed corporate debt, I again lost my identity. I was my business, my investments in real estate, my residence, my exotic cars, my custom 40-foot bus, my watches, my money. When we were unceremoniously stripped of these things, I was again nothing, just a wounded child with a lost soul. Who would have known that inside this overachiever was a broken and frightened little boy who could not seem to get traction in life? Perhaps you too have suffered a significant loss. Perhaps you too have hidden behind obsessive work habits, material things, positions and titles, and have suffered a financial setback that has exposed your child. Perhaps the pain has been intensified because you too lost some of the basic building blocks of childhood and have stepped into adulthood without a proper foundation or frame of reference. Perhaps you've suffered a serious, untimely or debilitating illness or accident, and you feel lost, incomplete, or less than. I do not share my story to get pity. I share it so that if anyone has ever felt alone or lost, that they may know there is hope. There is a way to fight through this darkness. There is a way to find yourself again, your real self, the miracle that is you. There is a way to let go of the need to be a victim and become a victor. There is a way for your self-esteem to improve and even heal. But it will require vigilance and determination. It will require a firm desire to bless the lives of others and a committed partnership with the power greater than you. With all of my energy, I will share the path I've walked to find peace of mind, praying that you will have the courage to walk this path and find the same joyful destination. It is time to rebuild your self-esteem 1 millimeter at a time from the inside out. It is time to learn how to be real, genuine, and authentic. It's time to let go of the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear. It is time to surrender to what is, let go of what's not, and create the most with what you have. Dr. Hartman, Robert S. Hartman, who created the math used in the intentional creation assessment, wrote, "To simply be is the hardest and most important task in our mortal existence." He went on to say, "This is the highest level of maturity." I used to believe that age and maturity were somehow connected. It's not true. In fact, they have little to do with one another. Maturity comes when we are grounded, whole and complete, fully available to serve others. It's been my experience that few feel qualified. Yet as Og writes, "I am nature's greatest miracle. Although I am of the animal kingdom, animal rewards alone will not satisfy me. Within me burns a flame which has been passed from generations uncounted, and its heat is a constant irritation to my spirit to become better than I am, and I will fan the flames of dissatisfaction and proclaim my uniqueness to the world." It's your time. It's your turn. In 1987, the year before our financial crash commenced, I wrote, produced, and directed a 3-part series on child abuse entitled Come In From the Storm, China Doll, The Diary, and The Necklace. In China Doll, a young and emotionally abusive mother, played by Holly Anderson, finally surrenders and seeks assistance while her loving daughter gratefully listens through the door. In The Diary, A young boy played by Emmanuel Lewis comes back from the future to visit his future father, who is still a young boy. In a touching scene, Emmanuel's character pleads with his future father to break the chains of abuse and change the future. In The Necklace, a young girl played by Tiffany Brissett, the little robot girl in Small Wonder, talks with her father, who's played by Gordon Jump. Remember Gordon at WKRP in Cincinnati? Gordon passed away just a few years ago. Dear friend, wonderful man. But she talks about this close friend who is suffering from sexual abuse, and she doesn't know what to do to help her. Well, it's not uncommon for causes and then symptoms of low self-esteem to be passed down for generations. In truth, we cannot go back in time and change the past, although many of us have wanted to. But we can absolutely change the future. Take courage. Be the one who makes the conscious decision to break these chains. It can stop here. You can change history in one generation, starting with you. And generations to come will honor your very courageous and unselfish gift. Well, I wrote several songs for the series on child abuse, and have included two of them at the final audio section for self-esteem. One is entitled Just Ran Out of Time. The second is called Come In From the Storm. I certainly hope you enjoy them. The third cause of low self-esteem is inconsistency between our public and our secret self. Now, over 92% of those actively seeking abundance are over-focused on a person's outward appearance. This can create three risks. One, we can become too trusting of a person based on how they look and become disappointed. Two, we can create expectations about how that person will perform based on how they look and become frustrated. Third, we can compare our worst, against their best and become intimidated. This risk can be heightened if the person has the characteristics and/or the possessions we desire to have and to own. Now, this risk becomes destructive when we inappropriately undervalue our own appearance and our possessions and our gifts and talents and skills. When this occurs, we self-deprecatingly, I hope that's a word, look inside ourselves at all of our perceived shortcomings, our faults, and our failures, and then compare this against the outward appearance of others. We feel less than or unworthy. Now, intellectually, we can step back and conclude that this is not sound thinking, you know, to compare our worst against someone's outward appearance. But nonetheless, over 90% engage in this destructive comparison game, and the damage is staggering. Now let's add a little more fuel to this fire. We know what is true about ourselves, you know, even if we try to project a different public persona. Even if we try to hide it from ourselves, we know. However, when we further burden the truth with unnecessary and inappropriate and destructive negative self-talk, we can become uncomfortable and intimidated by almost anyone. Thus the emotional cocoon. This is why I believe abuse of any form at any age can be so devastating. It undermines the truth about who we really are, the greatest miracle in the world, and creates destructive, compensating behaviors. You know, if I said half the things to you that your thought processes are saying to you, could we still be friends? Well, when we overfocus on a person's outward appearance, we may believe that the public persona we see from others is the truth. The truth is that this is not always true. In fact, it is seldom true. However, when we focus on what is wrong with us and compare it against the outward appearances of others, we build straw bridges, a bridge that cannot support connection, a bridge that cannot be crossed. Thus, we rob ourselves and everyone around us of our greatest gifts. We remain trapped in an emotional cocoon with few choices but to act out inappropriately. Again, I would encourage you to go back to quality one, connecting with people, and spend time mastering those seven principles of intrinsic validation. Now we're going to add something that's explosive. What happens when we examine our private and often secret life and discover behaviors that are terribly inconsistent with our outward appearance or persona? What happens when we're ashamed of these behaviors? What happens when we live in fear of being discovered or of public disclosure? Now, please understand, we're talking about private and secret acts in which we may engage that we would want to hide from the public. These are private or secret acts that prick our conscience and for which we are ashamed, even if shame comes retrospectively. No judgment intended with these comments. Now, a secret life is an incubator for shame. When the gap between our public self and private self is significant, we cannot feel whole and complete. There is a void in our soul. We are duplicitous, which means double-minded. We want to be more like our public persona. We're ashamed of our secret persona, so we really don't know who we are. We are quite literally lost in the void. Before we proceed any farther down this road, let us all agree that we each have weaknesses. We all have areas in our lives that can be improved. Most have overcompensating behaviors. I know I do. This cause, as currently being discussed, focuses on significant differences. Examples would include addictions such as alcohol and drugs or pornography. These secrets are only secrets when we fail to shed light on them and their root causes. Until then, we are simply avoiding the truth about our behavior and in the process, avoiding connection with our real self and ultimately with others. Relationships will remain superficial at best. Intimacy will be replaced by physical release. And many lives will be destroyed for fear that we are our behavior, which crushes hope. Instead of honest introspection, we may spend time trying to impress others or pretending that things are better than they actually are. We may be lost in a tsunami of fear that someone might discover the truth about us, or we may be shrouded in shame, haunted by our conscience. The root word of shame is sham. It's like a pillow sham. Well, shame is a covering under which is hidden our natural genius. We can't be all that we can be when we're living in shame. Well, when we finally surrender and willingly take a look, we are on the road to being real and genuine and authentic. This is what is real, no matter what we've been projecting. From here we can rebuild, overcome, lift burdens, heal, and become whole. It is in the chasm between this secret reality and the projected public image that can create this low self-esteem. As this chasm narrows and we become more and more consistent, we become more whole and complete. I have often said that businesses like network marketing and direct sales can fillet a person wide open. Literally, it can expose this gap. In some professions, we can hide, but not in those. Some attempt to pretend. Others anesthetize reality with alcohol or drugs or materialism or work. Others will just cower and fail. The truly brave step into this darkness and shed light, the light needed to expose the truth and then root out what is not good. Wholeness, joy, and peace of mind is their reward. Well, the most common secrets to create this chasm are the addictions such as drugs and alcohol and pornography, as I mentioned a few moments ago. Other common causes are any differences between professed beliefs and actual behavior. Examples are private and secret outbursts of anger, bouts of depression, spousal or child abuse, things we would not want the world to see because it is inconsistent with our public image. Well, if you're struggling with your self-esteem due to unmet, unrealistic expectations, start using your thoughts constructively and teach those closest to you to do likewise. Please do not let them get trapped in the destructive spiral of fantasy and lost hope and self-blame. If you're struggling due to a loss of personal identity, loss of trust, seek help from a qualified therapist. You owe it to yourself and you owe it to the next generation. If there are inconsistencies in your life, have the courage to shed light on them and root them out of your life. Well, if you're ready to engrave the past on your heart and use your life experiences as a resource to serve others and move forward, let's begin the rebuilding process.